To Luke chapter 4, we're going to do some reading tonight. Hallelujah. How many of you glad to be here tonight? Say amen. How many of you'd rather be here than the best jail in town? Say amen. How many of you'd rather be here than the best hospital in town? Say amen. If I was Jack Coe, I'd just say, well, the rest of you should have just gone to jail then. You'd have been happier there. But I think everybody here said amen. Hallelujah. My message tonight is the explosive ministry of Jesus. You know, when Jesus came on the earth, he didn't build a ministry that suffered. He didn't build a ministry that was anemic. He didn't build a ministry that was weak. Jesus came and he built a ministry, Pastor, that moved mountains. Hallelujah. Just like we've seen you do over the years. Jesus built a ministry that was explosive. Just like that applause and that amen we got right there. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus built a ministry that was explosive. Can you say amen tonight? I want you to get in faith with me about this. Because God has great things for this church. God has great things for the nation of the United States of America. In Luke chapter 4, let's start reading. I think we're going to start in verse 14. And just stick with me here through this reading. I think we need to read all this. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame throughout all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. So Jesus taught. Jesus also preached. I remember Jesse Duplantis talking about the time that he went to heaven and he said he saw Jesus preaching. He said there was a bunch of noise from people saying, he's coming, and Jesus rounded the corner. And he said Jesus rounded the corner and he was saying, I'm going to go get your brothers, I'm going to go get your sisters, and I'm going to bring them all here to heaven to live with me forever. And he said Jesus was preaching the gospel. And Jesse Duplantis said the first thing that went through his mind, he was like, Shambonk ain't got nothing on Jesus. But Jesus was a preacher, man. He stood up and he preached, but he taught. It says here, he taught in all their synagogues. But Jesus also worked miracles. In verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for to read. So Jesus was faithful in his church attendance. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So they knew him. They recognized him there. He had been there 18 years in Nazareth. So everybody knew him when he showed up. They did not know the Spirit of God that was on him, though. That last time they had seen Jesus, he wasn't baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, but now he was. Man, when something changes, when there's an increase in the Holy Ghost in your life, when there's a fresh baptism of the fire of the Spirit of God in your life, there's going to be fresh anointing that takes place coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Jesus came with a fresh word because he had a fresh baptism. And all throughout the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, there was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, there was another fresh baptism of the Spirit of God. In Acts 13:52, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Over and over and over again, there was a fresh baptism, a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. And immediately, there were greater results manifested in the preaching of the Word. Immediately, there were greater results manifested in the demonstration of the miraculous. And immediately, there were greater results in the growth and in the increase of the church. Can you say amen? It takes all of it. It takes the church attendance. It takes the teaching. It takes the preaching. It takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Verse 17, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm telling you, we need people to stand up, and I'm not talking about people that are going to point attention and bring attention to themselves and name a ministry and a book and a TV show after themselves, but we need people that have the guts to stand up and know the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's how I know that I can tell you to read that sign. That's how I know that I can tell you to get up out of that wheelchair. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, you will have the boldness to say something different than what you were saying before. Hallelujah. The explosive ministry of Jesus. There was a reason why his ministry exploded the way it did. There was a reason why his ministry was so mighty and it impacted the region everywhere that he went, because he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. But he kept that fire burning. He never let the fire get dim on the inside. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. What a bold statement. Before I move on, I'm telling you, we must make a decision by faith that we are going to increase our boldness. I'm telling you, from the platform all the way back to the back pew, everybody in this place, we have got to make a decision that we are going to increase our boldness. And if you want to increase your boldness, you've got to go to the secret place and get a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. You cannot stand up and just say some shallow statement because Oral Roberts said it 50 years ago and think that something's going to happen. You've got to go to the secret place. You've got to go to the place of prayer. You've got to be at the place where Jesus was, where you've spent time in fasting and prayer, and God speaks something on the inside of you. And when that happens, boldness is not going to be something scary. Boldness is going to be something that flows naturally out of your life. Hallelujah. Jesus was bold in what he said. You cannot work bold works without speaking bold words first. You cannot do it. You cannot work bold works without speaking bold words first. Because if you really believe it, Kathy, you're going to say it. And if you really believe it, not only are you going to say it, it's going to be a burning fire on the inside of you, and you cannot help but say something. Hallelujah. It's going to be a burning fire on the inside of you, and you can't help but say something. I'm telling you, when people get healed, it's not something that I'm scared of. There's a burning fire on the inside of me, Barry, and I have to say something about it. I have to command somebody to get up and walk. I've got to tell somebody that they can get saved. Hallelujah. Because it's a burning fire on the inside. Boldness does not come from a shallow statement that was produced in the mental realm. Boldness comes from the Spirit of God on the inside. Because somebody has been close to Jesus. I was at Williamson Tire the other day. I got a trucking business. I was at Williamson Tire the other day, and I got out. I'm busy. I got two 18-wheelers we run nationwide. I got a television ministry. And then I've got two rental properties. And I've got more than I can handle right now. And I'm at Williamson Tire, so I'm not looking for people just to chatty it up with. You know, I'm leaving the tire shop. I'm going into my car, and I got to leave because I got something to do. But I'm telling you, I'm walking along, and I see this guy going crossways of me, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came, and I just felt something on the inside of my gut. I was like, this guy, I've got to say something to him because his salvation is on the line. You can't put words to it, but the Spirit of God puts something on the inside of you that makes you bold. Hallelujah. So I sat down in my truck and I'm like, what am I going to do here? Because the guy walked inside of the tire shop. So I'm going to go find him. So I went around and looked for him, and I found him in the main office. And everybody there knows me. I've done so much business there. They all know me by my first name. And I'll tell them to do a job, and I don't even have to leave a check. I don't have to leave money. They just say, come and pay us. And that's the kind of relationship I have with these guys. And I'm witnessing to a guy named Hassan. He's going to get saved someday. So this guy walks into the office and nobody's there. So I walk in and I start witnessing to him. And he's like, man, I'm so glad you came in here. I've just been thinking about how do I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? How do I know for sure that I'm, can somebody know that they're right with God? Can somebody know this for sure? And I'm like, you can know for sure. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, and I begin to give him the gospel soul winning script. And we begin to pray right there. And then another guy came in the office. And then the manager came in the office, and we prayed the prayer of salvation right there in front of everybody. Hallelujah. Boldness comes on you to where it doesn't matter what somebody thinks. It doesn't matter what somebody says. You have got to change something. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? You can't leave things the way that you found them when the Spirit of God is on you. You can't keep your mouth shut when the Spirit of God is on you like that. You have got to say something because you know when you speak the word, you're going to change something. Hallelujah. Jesus did not stand up and preach a sissy message. He didn't stand up and say, look, you've known me these last 18 years and something might have changed in my life. I just went down and John the Baptist baptized me and actually the heavens opened, you know, but we didn't catch it on video. And I'm sorry, but to those, if you'll believe me this morning, something might touch. No, Jesus didn't do any of that. He cut straight to the chase. And it's my understanding that when those scrolls were read in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day on the synagogue, that there were scrolls and they would read a section and then they on the Sabbath day and then they would turn it and just leave it sitting there for the next Sabbath day. So I don't believe and I don't see through study that Jesus actually turned to these scriptures and decided I'm going to pronounce myself a Messiah. It was ordained by the Spirit of God for him to read that. Not even Jesus ever promoted himself. I mean, they came to Jesus and said, tell us you're the Son of God. Just say it. And he said, you say that I am. Not even Jesus would promote himself. A faithful man who can find. Many a man his own goodness will proclaim, but a faithful man who can find. Not even Jesus had to promote himself. The anointing, the Spirit of God, and the boldness on him did everything that needed to be done in his ministry. The explosive ministry of Jesus in verse 18, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm telling you, we got to have that boldness right now. I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that you have that boldness on the inside of you, that you go out every morning and you say, the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. He is upon me. He's clothed over me because he has called me to preach the gospel to the poor, to raise up, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to those that are bound, to cleanse the leper and to raise the dead. Hallelujah. That kind of boldness, praise God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you go to the prayer closet till you get it. Hallelujah. I pray a divine dissatisfaction over everybody in this place. That's what you get for coming tonight. A divine dissatisfaction, boldness. I just can't get past that. In verse 18, the Spirit, I can just see Jesus. He didn't get up and read this like a little sissy saint. He didn't get up and read this like just some little doctrinal doughboy thinking, I hope this works. I mean, he got up there and he read this with boldness. I can just imagine the fire in his eyes when he walked up to the scrolls and he saw, oh my goodness, here it is. I bet something bore witness in his spirit that he knew it was going to be there. And he got up there and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, because he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm telling you, as he read that, the power of God riveted through that synagogue. People could not help but notice something had changed in this man that they had known since he was 12 years old. Because it's not about what was said as much as it was the anointing that was said behind it. We have too much of things that are said that's hollow, but we've got to have a fresh anointing that has a boldness upon it that people cannot walk away from. Because the Bible says that after he read this, the eyes of all them in the synagogue were upon him. The typical service order. Thank God that we have a Holy Ghost service order here at Calvary Cathedral. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. The typical service order there in the synagogue was after somebody read the scroll, something else would happen. The service order was not whoever reads the scroll, you watch them go and sit down wherever they're sitting in this. That was not part of the service order, but they watched Jesus go and sit down. Because the anointing of the Spirit of God that was on him. I want you to know tonight, and I just want to break something open in a greater degree tonight in the name of Jesus, that we can operate under the fire and the Spirit of God in a greater way and release a greater boldness. I'm telling you, we don't have to be, we don't have to be 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 people in a church to shake the city. We've already started shaking the city, but it's like pastor's been saying the last few weeks, the Lord told you a few years ago, just Gideon's 300. We just need 300 people. Jesus' ministry was whittled down to 12. The 12 disciples. If you read through his ministry, I believe it was in John chapter 6 when he's preaching about, I am the bread of life, and any man that comes to me, he must eat of me for him to enter into eternity. And they got so offended at Jesus that tons of people began to leave him. They stopped following him. Then he turned to the 12 and said, are you going to leave me also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And they stayed with Jesus. His ministry was whittled down to 12 followers. multitudes, everybody, all over the Sea of Galilee, all over Capernaum, all over Tyre and Sidon, all over Jerusalem. Everybody knew in Jericho, everybody knew about the ministry of Jesus. Everybody heard him preach. And he said, there's coming, and John the Baptist said, there comes one after me, mightier than I, his shoe latch, and I am not worthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So since before Jesus even started preaching, they heard the message about the Holy Ghost. And while Jesus was preaching in John chapter 16, they heard about the message of the Holy Ghost. So they knew the Spirit of God was coming. And then in Acts chapter 1, he said, tarry you in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God come and you are endued with power on high. So everybody, there's no telling how many thousands and thousands, multiplied tens of thousands of people heard about the ministry of Jesus, were saved, that were impacted and were healed. But only 120 made it to the day of Pentecost. God does not need mass numbers of people to reach mass numbers of people. He just needs mass power on a few number of people to reach a mass number of people. Hallelujah. What we need tonight, and I'm not saying that we're in a needy position. We're not even in a needy position to say it that way, but what the U.S. needs tonight is a body of Christ, is a church that is full of the Spirit of God and boldness, that's going to stand up somewhere on the street and say, Jesus is the Savior. And to prove it, this people right here are going to get healed right here in front of everybody. That kind of boldness, boldness that cannot be denied. Jesus stood up and preached the gospel under power. He stood up and preached the gospel with the fire in his eyes. When John the Revelator, John the disciple, saw Jesus in the beginning of the book of Revelation, he had a fire in his eyes. Oh, hallelujah. He had a fire in his eyes and a two-edged sword in his mouth. Hallelujah. He has anointed me because he is, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other translations, that verse 21 actually translates to Jesus having said, while you yet heard these words, they were coming to pass. While you yet heard these words, they were coming to pass. That is why it is so important, church, that you speak the word under the authority and boldness of the Spirit of God. Because when you do, you are literally changing history. You are literally making history right there. Things that did not exist and were not taking place begin to take place when the Spirit of God is on somebody and they speak the word of God with boldness. While Jesus yet spoke this, it came to pass. Things changed in the realm of the Spirit. A new season was opened up. The New Testament ensued. The new covenant was in place when Jesus began to preach the gospel. Jesus later on said, the law and the prophets were until John, and after that, the gospel is preached. If you study this out, and I have, John the Baptist's message, he preached, as I said, his message was, there comes one after me mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. John the Baptist's message that he preached all the way up until he was thrown in jail. And Jesus, there's no record that I can find where Jesus ever publicly preached until John the Baptist was put in jail. Jesus ministered to people one-on-one. He healed people, but I couldn't find any record where he ever publicly preached the message that he's preaching right here until John the Baptist was in jail. Literally, the times changed right up to there. He said the law and the prophets were until John, and after that, the gospel is preached. Jesus stood up and he opened his mouth. He preached the gospel and things begin to change. Church, when you preach the gospel, when you get an anointing of the Spirit of God on you, when God tells you something in the prayer closet and you've got boldness of a greater degree on you and you open your mouth and you preach that, things begin to change. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus' ministry was so explosive. And that's what's going to make this nation turn around. Hallelujah. That's why there's evidence that this nation is already turning around. That's why we've had over 40,000 people pray the prayer of salvation here in Fort Worth, Texas, because the church is getting its boldness back. Hallelujah. Like Dwight used to preach in the 2010 revival, it's time the church get its swagger back. Hallelujah. We're getting our swagger back. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus gets kicked out of Nazareth. In verse 29, it says that in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They rose up and thrust him out of the city. But it was too late, because what Jesus preached already came to pass. It's too late, devil. It's too late. The devil's trying to tell the church it's too late for the United States of America. And there are prophecies about the doom and the gloom of the United States. You know what? Some people say that's not true. Some people say it is true. I believe both of it. If the church doesn't stand up and preach the gospel and go out and reach the lost and the unsaved and be the salt that we're called to be, yeah, we'll lose the nation. But I'm telling you, there are too many people that got too big of a fire burning on the inside. And the gospel is too strong. God doesn't have to have 40 million people out there preaching on the street corners to make it happen. He can do it with just 300 people. He can take a nation. I don't know how, and I don't have to explain it. You don't know how, you don't have to explain it. We just have to believe it and open our mouths and preach the gospel. It's too late, devil. The devil's trying to tell us that it's too late. He's trying to tell us that Obamacare has made it too late for this and that. Look, I don't know what's going to happen with all of that. But one thing that I get excited about as a healing evangelist is if people can't do Obamacare, if it's not going to work, they're going to come to the tent crusade. Hallelujah. So bring it on. It works better anyway. The healing ministry works better anyway. And I'm not just making that up. I've seen it happen. JD, you were there. In 2010, we did a healing meeting down in Portland, Texas. It's not Portland, Oregon. This is Portland, Texas. It's an exit or two, and you miss the little town. We did a healing meeting in Portland, Texas. And I think everybody that we laid hands on and could talk to right then was completely healed. Every single person, a 6-inch tumor, disappeared off of a lady. And I tell you, I got bold that morning. I pulled a Jatco, and I just slapped that tumor, and that tumor was gone. I'm glad it worked. I'm glad it worked. But everybody we talked to was healed. Everybody that we could check out. I mean, we didn't have a medical clinic, but we'd ask an interview just like I did tonight. Every single person was healed. And then we went on to Denton, Texas. We did a healing crusade there. I remember the first night. I've had this happen in Abilene. The first night, the power of God came to heal just like it did here tonight. And I proclaimed it, the power of God's here to heal. And not a single person was healed. I couldn't believe it. The spirit of religion or something had so encapsulated these precious people. Not a single. And there were people, I looked at the photos after the service, Pastor, and I'm like, there were two or three people in the back that were in walkers and wheelchairs. And I'm like, they didn't even let me pray for them. I looked at the photo and I'm like, come on. You didn't even give us a chance. But the second or third night, there was a young man that came from a high school football team in Denton, Texas. He had 3 broken ribs. After the service, the Lord healed his ribs, and I'm slapping his ribs. I mean, just like that, his ribs are completely healed. They were broken. These were broken. The Met doctors had done an x-ray. These are broken ribs. And I'm slapping those things. The Lord had completely healed it, and things begin to turn around. People begin to pray because we had a 5-night meeting. And we had our canopy set up. We had a 5-night meeting. People began to pray because they knew that the devil was fighting back. And there was a lady that came. The miracles and healings began to increase. And the final night on a Saturday night, there was a lady that came. And this is kind of a heartbreaking story. There was a lady that came. And everybody we were praying for, I'm telling you, the high 80% of people that had hands laid on them were getting completely healed. And it's always been that way. We had a lady here earlier this year that was healed of Parkinson's disease. She went and got it checked out with a doctor. And there was a lady that came. She might have been near 80 years old that Saturday night. And Pastor, I'm telling you, she was one of these, you could just tell, and I love this, she was one of these precious, interceding, praying saints. You know, and you were talking tonight about how this newer generation, you know, it's kind of concerning about, do we know how to pray through? And that's so true. We've got to have a revival. And I said this several weeks ago. We've got to have a revival of saints that know how to pray through. Saints that can just go to the prayer closet and get the job done and come out and things are different. And you could see it on this lady. And I'm rabbit trailing a little bit, but I've noticed that. It's interesting, Pastor. I've noticed that. And I think it goes back to the healing revival from the 50s and the 60s that took place in the U.S. because, well, we've done tent crusades and advertised healing miracles all over the place. And I can see it in this generation of people that are 70, 80 years old that come, and I can see the faith in their eyes. I can see them that they believe in what's going on. And this lady came and she was telling me that she had to sneak out of the hospital because her grandkids didn't want her to come out. The doctors were trying to domineer everything that she did and telling her that she couldn't leave. And she snuck out of the hospital. I don't know how she did it, but she snuck out of the hospital. And she's there in the service. She's like, I've been trying to come all week to this thing. And my grandkid, my granddaughter, whatever, wouldn't let me come. And the doctor's telling me that I can't come. And I snuck out of there. They don't even know that. I don't know how she did this. I'm telling you, this was, and she got, I don't remember what happened, but she had a severe problem. It was a lot of pain in her body, major, major sickness. But she was healed that night, and she wasn't completely healed. She was largely healed, and she was moving around and just rejoicing. We've got it on video, and so we sent her back. And, you know, she went back. We didn't. And a few days later, we are tearing down the set, and I'm out there, and a worker's there just loudmouth talking. And I had to restrain myself because this worker's talking about, and this worker was related to this grandmother. And this worker was helping tear down the set, and the worker's talking about, yeah, our grandmother, I don't know what she was doing. She shouldn't have come out here. She thought this and that. We got our back in there, and she's da-da-da-da-da. And my heart just began to break because these people just overtook this lady's will, her faith to receive her healing, her faith to go out and be healed. They wouldn't let it. They just had authority somehow, and they wouldn't let her get healed. And she lost her healing. Because I heard them talk about it, and I saw her healed. I mean, JD was there. We saw this lady healed that night, you know. But that's the medical world, and thank God for the medical world, because I've used medicine, and I don't preach against doctors. We need doctors. We need the medical world to help and be an assistant. But the main thing is the healing power of God. It is more efficient that the percentage of healings and deliverances that we see physically in our healing crusades is like 70, 80%, sometimes more than that. You know, of major things, incurable arthritis, incurable disease, diabetes. Earlier last year in 2012, we had a man come to a service that was totally blind. Not only was he totally blind, he couldn't even open his eyelids. And he came in a wheelchair from diabetes. The Lord healed him. He was able to count my fingers from like 10 feet away. He could open his eyes. And then he got up out of the wheelchair, was walking around. And I told him, look, don't get back in that wheelchair. The service went on for another 30 minutes. Everybody else was sitting down because they were tired, Pastor. And this man is standing behind his wheelchair and never sat down. I'm telling you, we've seen all kinds of healing and results like that. So God is not outnumbered. You know, the devil wants to tell us that it's too late. But it's too late for the devil. You may think that the cards are stacked, the deck is stacked against the church on a national scale, but it's not. I'm here to encourage you tonight that it's not. That the healing power of God, the healing ministry has a far higher success ratio than the doctors do. Thank God for the doctors. But the healing ministry, Jesus is a lot better. Hallelujah. So let it come. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm telling you, the church is ready for it. Whatever's going to take place, the church is ready for it. But it's got to come through boldness. It's got to come through a faith burning in our hearts where there's something on the inside of us because we've been in the prayer closet, where there's something on the inside of us because the Spirit of God is burning on the inside. And the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning where people look at us and they can see the fire in our eyes. Say, this guy means business. I better do what he says. That's how Jesus accomplished what he did. That's why his ministry was so explosive. Because he was bold, hallelujah. And he was bold because he had been in the fire of the Spirit of God. And his ministry exploded. Explosive ministry starts in the prayer closet. And it takes place through the mighty preaching of the Word. That's how Jesus brought people in from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Explosive ministry is not growing from people from other ministries. Explosive ministry is growing from people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it comes by preaching the gospel under the mighty anointing of the Spirit of God. And it comes by every single one of you preaching the gospel. under the Spirit of God. Actually, before I finish this, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. I got about 10 more minutes I'm going to go. Before I do, right now, preaching the gospel under the mighty Spirit of God. We have Super Soul Winning Saturday coming up this Saturday at 10 a.m. We've got Andrew Womack coming in town. We've got people flying in from various parts of the country. We need this to be our strongest showing for the church. So if you're here in this place and you're going to Super Soul Winning Saturday, I want you to stand up right now. You're going to be there winning souls. And if you're here in this place and you're thinking, Dave, I hear you preaching right now and I need to go, you need to make a decision right now. I'm giving you an altar call, not to come to the altar, but a stand-up call. I want you to stand up right now. If you know you need to come, I just want you to stand up right now. Anybody else to come to Super Soul Winning Saturday? Come on, you can do it. I encourage you. You feel something burning on the inside of you, you need to come out to Super Soul Winning Saturday. Everybody, look around. Remember everybody you see standing up. I'm telling you, this is where it starts. All right, you can have a seat. And when you go out and start preaching, you got to preach the gospel with authority and with boldness. I'm telling you, some of you have been witnessing with others, but you haven't been the one that said, bring the whole family to the door. You need to be the one this week that says, bring the whole family to the door and lead an entire family to Jesus at one time. Preaching the gospel under the power of the Spirit of God. So Jesus, verse 28, they all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So I want to resume what I was just sharing about that it was too late. The devil tried to kill Jesus. Now that's funny. You can't kill the Word of God. But the devil tried to kill the Word of God, tried to kill him there. He thought he killed him later, and he came back. Hallelujah. Thought he killed him later, but he came back. Praise God. But it was too late. Hallelujah. You want to make the devil's attack on the United States too late? Get a fresh fire in the spirit of God in the place of prayer and go out and start preaching the gospel. Go out and start prophesying the Word of God. Go out and start speaking the Word to somebody. You want to make it too late? It's too late for the devil. It is not too late for the church. It is too late for the devil. I'm telling you tonight, right now. It is too late. But not for us. Too late for the devil. Because the Word's already been preached. It's too late. Man, what was going on in Nazareth in the realm of the Spirit was all that mattered. Unfortunately, these people rejected Jesus. Most of them probably continue to reject him and aren't in heaven today. In the natural, Jesus looked like he lost. But in the realm of the Spirit, he had overwhelming victory. Verse 30, but Jesus, passing through the midst of them, went his way. I want you to know tonight, regardless of what has happened in your life, you can pass through the midst of it. That situation may have led you to the brow of the hill. It seems like, and we notice here that they weren't already at the brow of the hill. So for whatever reason, God allowed them to have physical dominance over Jesus enough to take him from the synagogue to get him to the brow of the hill. That can be a real scary moment because it looks like the devil's beat you because they've already got you. Well, they took me from the synagogue to the brow of the hill. What's going to stop them from throwing me over the brow of the hill? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. But God's going to take care of you one way or the other. But I want you to know tonight, for you personally, regardless of what you're going through, you can pass through the midst of it, and you can go your way and fulfill the will of God. Hallelujah. You can do it. You're going to make it through this killer situation. Some of you are in a killer situation right now, something you never wanted to face, the biggest and the worst. Time you think has run out. You may feel like you're at the brow of the hill, but you're going to pass right through the midst of it. Praise God. And you know what? You're going to Capernaum after that. Jesus went to Capernaum. He stood up and preached. A demon-possessed person cried out. He cast out all the devils out of that person. He had mass revival. By the end of one day, Sunday morning, he preached in Capernaum. By the end of Sunday night, the entire city, the Bible said, was gathered at his door. You can pass through the midst of whatever you're going through. It may look like the devil's taking you to the brow of the hill, but you're going to pass through the midst of this one also. You've done it before and you're going to do it again. And you're going to your Capernaum victory. You're going to your place where God has set apart for you. Hallelujah. Jesus went to Capernaum and his ministry exploded in one day. The entire city was gathered at his door. And then he set up residence there and established his ministry in Capernaum. Everything. That's not easy. There's so much behind the scenes that went on in the life of Jesus right there. 18 years he had lived there. 18 years. You know, your emotions and your mind get attached to people, get attached to places. 18 years he was there in Nazareth and he gets violently kicked out. Man, that can rend your heart. That can tear you up. But you're going to pass through the midst and you're going to go your way. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The most important thing tonight, those of you here in this place, if you were to die right now, you don't know for sure that you would make heaven. If you were to die right now, you don't know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would make heaven. There's a second category of people that I want to pray with tonight. If you were to die right now, you know, you believe you would make heaven, but you know you don't have peace in your heart with God right now. You know your heart is not right with Jesus. It's time for you to get right with the Lord. You're in this place, the Lord's calling you. I didn't get to this part of my message, but one of the main reasons Jesus demonstrated miracles was so that he could get people saved, to get people to believe in him. Jesus has demonstrated miracles here tonight. If you're here in this place and you don't know for sure that you would make heaven, if you're here in this place and you believe you'd make heaven, but your heart is not right with God, you need to come to Jesus tonight. Do not walk out the door without making a move towards Jesus tonight. Right now is your time, and you've got to make a move right now. You can't put this off. You're not promised to. Tomorrow. I'm telling you, we're experiencing a soul-winning revival here, out in the streets and here in the church. If you're in this place right now, the Lord's speaking to your heart, and you know your life is not right with God. Your heart's pounding right now, and you know on the inside it's time to get right with Jesus Christ, and it's time to do it right now. I want you to raise your hand and wave it at me, wherever you're at. Thank you, Jesus. Raise your hand right now, wherever you're at. The Lord's speaking to your heart, and you know it's time to make a move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that hand. If there's anybody else, just raise your hand right now. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Right now is the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask this gentleman to raise your hand. Go ahead and step out of your seat and come on down here. Anybody else, the Lord's speaking to your heart. If you know in your heart, y'all give him a hand clap tonight. If you know in your heart that there's not peace and your life is not right with Jesus, move out of your seat right now and come to Jesus and get it right. Thank you, you two men. Y'all just come right over here to the middle. You know in your heart things aren't right. You may have prayed the prayer of salvation. You may have spoken in tongues before. But right now things aren't right. It's time to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. I appreciate it. It's awesome. I want y'all to know that you made the best decision in your entire life right now. Jesus loves you. He hung on the cross just for you. And there's nothing that's gone on the inside or the outside in the past ever that he is not aware of. He was there, and he's here for you right now, and he loves you 100%. Hallelujah. And he's doing a work on the inside of your hearts right now. And I want you all to pray this prayer with me. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is risen from the dead, then you shall be saved. That's the power of the gospel. He's already taken care of every single one of y'all. You may have already prayed this prayer. You may have never prayed it before, but I want you to pray this out loud after me. And congregation, pray this with us right now. I want you guys to put your hand over your hearts and just mean this prayer with everything that you got. Say right now, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I believe you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead for me to forgive all of my sin and to heal me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Let me never be the same. fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire. You give me a passion for the lost. Make me a preacher of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Just raise your hands right now. Thank the Lord for that.